Are you ready for a travel adventure? How about an exciting trip to Venice or an exhilarating experience in Bangkok? Maybe you were more about a culinary adventure in Barcelona or just a relaxing day cruising the canals of Amsterdam. Join the Professor Travel as he invites you on an epic excursion, one that has you traveling the globe with him. Come and experience a world of culture, a world of history and architecture, a world of food and experiences to broaden your mind and save you time and money as you travel. Learn more, discuss more, travel more, and enjoy life more. And now your host, the Professor Travel.
Greetings, students, and welcome to this special edition of The Professor Travel Domestic Edition. I am your host, The Professor Travel, coming to you from Orange County, California. This is the website, the vlog, and the podcast that you come to in order to learn more about different travel destinations. This is where we come to as a community in order to discuss them. Hopefully, this will inspire you to travel more and ultimately to enjoy life more. Now, you can reach me on a variety of different social media platforms, starting, of course, with my website, which is at theprofessortravel.com. On YouTube, on Facebook, and now on TikTok, you can reach me at The Professor Travel. On Instagram, you can find me there at @the_professor_travel. If you're a Twitterer, you can find me on Twitter at @theprofessortr1. And then finally, if you're a blogger, you can find me there at theprofessortravel.blogspot.com. Today, I have a returning visiting professor to come to us today, Monique LeBlanc. How are you doing, Monique?
Doing really well, Scott. And actually, as you went through your introduction there, I mean, I already knew you were really cool after our conversation last time, but you're on TikTok now?
I am on TikTok, yes.
Too cool now at this point.
So for the benefit of the students who may have not seen your previous video, can you talk to us a little bit about your educational background and maybe some places that you've traveled?
Yeah, absolutely. So I went to high school and grew up in the New England area of Rhode Island specifically. And then I went to college, my undergraduate days at Bucknell University in Pennsylvania. And then traveled around the country after that point, actually went on a around the country 33-day trip with a college buddy, and had a great time driving all around the country and seeing different states and, all the great cities. But I actually moved across the country to Flagstaff, Arizona, where I did my master's degree at Northern Arizona University. And I'm a college basketball coach, and that typically makes you travel around the country more than a lot of other industries. So I've traveled around and worked at some different universities, and I'm now the head coach at Brown University. So back to Rhode Island, back home. But, currently, as of this very moment, living in Pelham, New Hampshire, and I've lived in New Hampshire for the past few years. And before that, I lived right over the New Hampshire border in Massachusetts, but I, where I was working last at Merrimack College in Andover, Massachusetts. So have lived either in New Hampshire or just miles from New Hampshire for the past 10 years, almost. And excited to be here. I have traveled internationally a little bit, but this is the domestic edition.
I was going to say, and you know what? This is a really important episode for you, because this is going to be the last time you're in New Hampshire when we talk to you, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. We are getting ready to move here by the end of the month. So excited to be still here in New Hampshire as we do this episode today.
Well, and that's what, again, the crust of this episode is on the great state of New Hampshire. We're going to talk a little bit about it. I don't know a lot about it, so I'm hoping that you can help to educate me and my students. So let's get started with a little bit of history of New Hampshire. Talk to me a little bit about what you are aware of.
Yeah, so kind of, last time when we talked about Rhode Island, we kind of led with, just the East Coast and how historical it is. And, we're talking back into the 1600s when we're talking about these states. So New Hampshire is certainly in that same category. And, my understanding is that it was established in 1623. And in 1629, it kind of got its name, New Hampshire, named after Hampshire in England. But then in 1641, Massachusetts gained control. And so 38 years later, New Hampshire got its independence back and broke away and became its own separate royal colony. But a cool thing about that early history of New Hampshire, it was the first state to enact a law that if you had a town with over 50 people, you had to have a school in that town. So kind of cool little educational fact there about New Hampshire. And then, you know, Franklin Pierce was our 14th U.S. president, and he became that president in 1853. So some of our earlier history there. And then I know with recent history, you know, I'm trying to think of big things that have happened in the state of New Hampshire.
Well, from a political standpoint, I mean, New Hampshire is like one of those battleground states that always seems to be on the map every time.
I was going to talk about how, you know, the New Hampshire primaries is always a really big deal in any presidential elections, and to the point where I believe that earlier on it shared the same primary date with Minnesota and Indiana, who are, you know, of course, bigger states and more heavily populated. But New Hampshire being such a battleground state, those states backed off of the date, and, you know, New Hampshire kind of has its own date. You know, so that's pretty cool. But another, like, big thing that, you know, mostly the locals would be aware of, that was like a really historical time in New Hampshire, was we have this sort of monument. It's a natural, or had a natural rock structure. You know,
the old man face.
The old man on the mountain.
Yeah.
That fell down in 2003. It was terrible for the locals. You know, it was just, you know, such an icon of our state. And so, you know, it was created naturally and it, you know, collapsed naturally. It was like five different cliffs that if you're looking at it from the north side, it was like the profile of an old man's face, you know? And so that's how it got its name, the old man on the mountain, on Cannon Mountain there. So now it's not there, and it's kind of sad, but that was a really cool kind of claim to fame.
Well, it's nice to know that New Hampshire has a lot of things going for it in terms of its history, in terms of its politics, in terms of its food. I will get into that in a little bit too. But before we do that, let's talk about the beautiful geography. I mean, look at just how picturesque this amazing state is. Talk to me a little bit about the one thing I'm always curious about is what states surround you, because you're really in an encapsulated area and there's a lot of states in your general vicinity.
Yeah. New Hampshire is really beautiful. And like you just said, you can travel to New Hampshire pretty easily if you're anywhere within New England, and we're surrounded by many New England states. So to the east of New Hampshire, we are mostly sharing a border with Maine. But there is like an 18-mile stretch of Atlantic Ocean. So we do have some oceanfront in the state of New Hampshire.
Okay.
To the south is Massachusetts. And so, you know, literally you could be on I-95 in Massachusetts and cross into New Hampshire and then be in Maine within 20 minutes. So like within 20 minutes, you touch three states.
Wow.
On that highway. And then to the west, we are bordered by Vermont. And then to the north, we are bordered by Canada, specifically Quebec. And so that's really neat. It's, you know, easy access to Canada. And in fact, there's a border crossing in the town of Pittsburgh, New Hampshire. It's like one of the most northern towns of New Hampshire. And I actually went through it last year. I was on a recruiting trip up to Canada. And on the way up, we crossed the border in Vermont. Mm-hmm. That we were headed to Montreal, so that was kind of closer. And then on the way home, after we had gone to some different schools and recruited some different players, we were more east, so we came back through the border of Pittsburgh, New Hampshire.
Very cool. Awesome. So let me also ask then in terms of the weather, because every time I see New Hampshire, it seems like it's really, really cold. I mean, like, but clearly from the last picture that we saw, and for my podcasters that are on there, you really have to come on to the YouTube channel in order to see some of these really gorgeous pictures of New Hampshire. Clearly there's obviously a really pronounced season series there. It looks like it's a gorgeous fall season. It looks like there's a gorgeous summer season. Talk to me a little bit about how the seasons are up in that area.
Yeah, well, you nailed it with that, you know, showing that previous picture. The fall, you know, some of the long weekends that we have in the fall are really big, you know, destination points for people to come up into New Hampshire and just leaf peep and look at the foliage. And there's, you know, a lot of beautiful drives, you know, that are known to be scenic routes that, you know, if you want to see the leaves, drive the Kankamankas Highway in New Hampshire. You know, it's a scenic byway that goes through the White Mountains, you know, in different areas. So, yeah, it's your typical four seasons. The fall is really so beautiful. The winter is wonderful because New Hampshire is a big skiing state. And so there's a lot of mountains and there's a lot of snow. And, you know, this picture here, that we're looking at on the left, you know, Mount Washington is in New Hampshire, which is the highest peak in you know, northern New England or in the northeastern United States. You know, there's the Presidential Mountain Ranges and that's really fun to hike. But Mount Washington being the tallest, you know, it actually has a nickname of the worst weather in the world. And that, I think, comes from... you know, there was a 62-year stretch where the top of Mount Washington had the record for the highest wind gusts at like 231 miles per hour. Now, that's since been broken, so it's, you know, now the second highest wind gust. But it's apparently, and I've never been to the top of Mount Washington, it's on my bucket list. and I'll be living in Massachusetts, still obviously really close to get up there. But I guess Mount Washington is actually used for, you know, a training mountain for hikers that are looking to go do more serious hikes in the elements, such as, you know, like an Everest.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a much easier egress on a mountain like Mount Washington. So I thought that was pretty cool to mention that because I've never thought of it as terrible weather. But of course, I'm sure at that elevation, you know, certainly it could be. So but then in the summer, it's a really popular place to go because, you know, it's not overly hot. It is hot and there's the lakes region. So, you know, have a lot of water sports and just that calm lake life that people, you know, really desire to slow down and get away. So, but, you know, it's also just got that sort of nice fresh air feel and that sort of thing. So I feel like every season is really successful season for New Hampshire.
Absolutely. Now, are there any like unusual weather phenomena that happen in the area? Because I mean, like with California, we have earthquakes, we have mudslides, we have like wildfires, we have a lot of different craziness, you know, and it happens. But like, do you have like anything like tornadoes, hurricanes, blizzards, anything like that?
So we definitely, you know, the biggest weather phenomenons that New Hampshire has experienced are definitely blizzards. And there's been like some flooding. There's been some extreme floods at times. But funny, this just happened within the past couple of weeks. And, you know, I live just a couple miles from Massachusetts. You know, we're really tucked down here in southern New Hampshire. And on our kind of town Facebook page, there was, did anybody just feel that? Did you? And then sure enough, there was an earthquake in Massachusetts and it was kind of felt all the way up here. It was in, you know, in like southern Mass, you know, over an hour away, but it was over 4.0. So it's pretty big for out here on the East Coast. And
The reason I say that is because, you know, living in Southern California, unless it's a six something, I'm not waking up and, you know, it just doesn't knock me out of bed. I mean, I'll feel it, but I'll be like, okay, moving on. And right. So, but like when I was on the East Coast, I lived in Maryland for a little while. I mean, not as far east as you are, but when I was out there, we actually did have an earthquake. That was the earthquake that actually cracked the top of the George Washington Monument. And it was interesting because it was like, I think I felt something. And people were like running out of the building like a bomb had hit or something like that. It's a different perspective, I think, in terms right. of like if I talk to someone, for example, from Kansas or Texas, their view on tornadoes are like, we just listen to the siren and we just go underground. It's no big deal. I mean, for me, it's like, but how, you know, like I freak out. So
you see that funnel shaped cloud and it's, you know,
bye.
Exactly.
So I'm like, now let's talk about the culture of your area. Now you have some amazing old churches there. Is there like a predominant religion in New Hampshire?
So that's what's really fascinating is the highest, I guess, like group percentage would be people that aren't religious.
Really?
No religion is 36% of the state. And then like after that, it's like Protestant and Catholic are pretty equal and make up most of the rest of the religious group of the state. So, but yeah, there are a ton of just old historical everythings, but certainly the churches and like covered bridges is a big thing. People drive around the state and look at different covered bridges too. But yeah, I was surprised to learn that about the religion here in New Hampshire.
Yeah. What about as far as the art community? You guys have a couple of really nice museums there. Any major artists or singers come out of that area at all that you're aware of?
So yeah, like Robert Frost, and most people are familiar with his poetry, is from New Hampshire. Trying to think of artists or singers. She's neither, but a lot of people are familiar with Sarah Silverman from.
Oh, the comedian. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so, yep, she's from New Hampshire, had gone to high school, you know, was in New Hampshire all the way up through her high school days, before leaving for New York. So, that's pretty cool. And then, you know, New Hampshire is known for having like giant craft fairs, and it's known for our really like small, quaint town. So it's certainly a place that has a lot of galleries. Like, you could make a trip out of going from, you know, different art galleries in these different towns, for sure.
Very nice. Now, as close as you are, especially to Quebec, are English predominant in everything that you guys have there? Or is there a little bit of a French influence that comes in from time to time?
Yeah, predominantly English, because, you know, as we said, Quebec borders us on the northern border, and there's not a really high population in northern New Hampshire. So, yeah, there's not a ton of French influence.
Okay, cool. Now, my favorite subject, diet. Same. And food. So let's start off with apples, because apples are everywhere in New Hampshire, it would appear. Yes. I mean, from apple donuts to apple pie to apple cider to mead to just everything. Are there like orchards aplenty, or what's the situation?
There are orchards aplenty, for sure. And it's not just apples. A lot of the orchards then have, you know, you can go pick your own peaches and pick your own blueberries. But certainly the fall just brings out, you know, groups of people that are coming up to visit the apple orchards, do their own apple picking. You know, although we are locals, we're not unlike any tourists. You know, we went and bought way too many apples and had apple sauce, apple crisp, you know, anything you can make with apples, you know, we're going to do it. So, yeah, definitely got to get up here and do some apple picking, for
Fantastic.
Sure.
Fantastic. And hunting is also a big thing up in there. Venison being a large predominant thing in that area, I think, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It apparently is. And it's not something that I knew about until I was reading a little bit more on it. You know, it's not something that, you know, I see offered on menus a lot, but, you know, yeah, hunting is big. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Another thing is that, you know, with New England, with all of us being on top of each other, we also share some of the same sort of food claims to fame, I think. And so, you know, Vermont, you know, is also like maple syrup, but New Hampshire's like, hey, we do maple syrup too. And, you know, I'm sure Maine. We all kind of, you know, do our own thing with maple syrup. So New Hampshire is part of that. And seafood, that's a big deal everywhere in New England. Like I mentioned, we only have the 18 miles of coastline, but lobster rolls are a big deal here too. And so it's either, are you a traditional? So that means you're having it cold with mayo, like your lobster salad is made with mayo. Or are you going for a hot lobster roll? And to me, that is a New Hampshire thing to do. You definitely want to go. Personally, it's literally just hot lobster with hot butter poured over it.
You're talking to my mom's language, because she comes from Malden, Massachusetts. And believe me, she's like lobster to everything if she can. So I get it. You were also making mention prior to us recording that there is a yogurt facility that's up in that area that's also pretty big too.
Yeah. So Stonyfield Yogurt, it's funny because I wouldn't have known that was based right here in New Hampshire. But our daughter, our five-year-old, is a super picky eater, always has been. And she loves Stonyfield vanilla yogurt, to the point where if you try to give her a different brand of yogurt, like, you know, we're in a store, you know, we're visiting my dad and they didn't have Stonyfield, you know, oh, that's fine, we'll give her some of this other brand. Mm-mm, she's gonna write. It is pretty good. I've tried it. It's very delicious.
Awesome. Let's move on to sports and recreation, something that you're very familiar with. Yes. So talk to me, like, there are no specific teams, but it seems like everybody in the New England area is all about like the Patriots, or like it's a regional type situation, correct?
Right. Yeah. So it's always been so funny to me that, you know, you take a place like LA and they've got two basketball teams in one city, and then, yeah, you know, in New England, all of us have to share like one team, you know? And so, but that makes sense. You're small states up here. So yes, you're right. We're all New England Patriots, Boston Celtics, Boston Bruins, and Boston Red Sox, right? So those are all of our regional teams. But specific in New Hampshire, you know, we do have a double A affiliate for Major League Baseball and the Fisher Cats. And they're with the Blue Jays organization.
Oh, okay.
The biggest thing is that we have NASCAR here. So we have the Loudoun Speedway in Loudoun, New Hampshire. And so it's like the only NASCAR stop, you know, in New England. So it's a pretty big deal. Definitely over there at the Speedway.
Very cool. And then, to the best of your knowledge, are there any state specific holidays that are not federal holidays?
No, not to my knowledge. I don't think there are.
Okay, cool. Then let's move on to the population. Now, as I'm looking at the map here, it looks like, as you were making mention earlier, most of the northern area is pretty much remote, rural. But it looks like there's a lot of red in the southern areas.
Right.
There's that little 18-mile stretch that you were talking about of the water. I see it. But right in this area here that I'm circling on the map, what is that population center? What are those two areas?
So yeah, that's like Salem, New Hampshire, and Nashua is the like big red dot that's right on the Mass border there. And then like the other kind of like shaded like red and orange, I'd say that's like Salem. And then the next red dot up there, I would say is still in the middle, that second big red dot. Yeah, just below that. That would be probably Manchester.
Okay.
And then Concord a little further up. So, yeah, you know, it's funny, the population in New Hampshire has grown over the years. And, you know, what you've seen is, you know, in southern New Hampshire, you know, people live over the border and still work in Boston. You know, it's without traffic, it's about 35 minutes to get to Boston. So with traffic, it's going to be a lot more, but still certainly doable. And so, you know, there's definitely been a big push into New Hampshire. And then like in northern New Hampshire, I think it just lacks an economic base to really sustain like a lot of full-time residents, but it's got a lot of people that have like their vacation homes up there and that sort of thing.
Okay, that's kind of nice. Although, it, again, like you were saying earlier, it just blows me away. Living in California, you know, we have to plan if we want to go to another state because it is hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Like just to get to Vegas, it's 4 hours plus. And like here, if I'm looking at it, if you're just in this general area, I can go from Maine to New Hampshire to Massachusetts all within like an hour, maybe. Something like that. It looks crazy close.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can hit a lot of cool spots. You know, the beaches right there in New Hampshire are really, really popular. Hampton Beach is a really fun place. It's got, you know, that nice little like kind of boardwalk feel and downtown feel with it. And then, you know, you cross into Maine and okay, there's Portland, Maine. There's some really cool like coastal towns too. So yeah, it's a really neat area right there for sure.
And here are those lakes that I think you were talking about as well. The variety looks pretty nice, actually, in that general area.
Yeah, so there's like 273 lakes in the lakes region. You know, the biggest one being Lake Winnipesaukee and then Ossipee. And then also like right in that whole area is Squam Lake, which a lot of people would remember the movie On Golden Pond. Filmed at Squam Lake. So it's kind of a claim to fame about Squam.
Oh, beautiful. The names sound like they're all indigenous. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, that I would expect considering how old the state is. Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic. Now, I was really impressed to find out how many different companies and different locations are in New Hampshire. Now, obviously, the colleges are a really big push there as well. Yeah. But then you also have Fidelity Investments, Easter Seals, Fredenberg. As you said, the Motor Speedway is in that area. C&S Wholesale Grocers, I'm not too familiar with. But then there's also, I'm trying to remember the R that's on the bottom there. I think it's a pistol or rifle company. That's another thing that's up in that area. But I guess, you know, any other really big companies that come to mind that maybe I've left off this list?
Well, just two that I could think of. You mentioned Fidelity Investments. And so another kind of big one in that sort of industry, more insurance, Liberty Mutual has a really big, hiring base. I think they've got like 6,000 employees in New Hampshire. But you have up there Dartmouth College, the university or the college that's located there. But also right by there is the Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. It's a pretty big medical center in New England. And, I think they've got like 7,000 employees. So it's a big deal.
You know, I should mention that as I go through more of these states, it seems like a lot of the colleges have medical related associations, like either learning hospitals or something to that extent. Right. You know, one thing I did not mention on here, and I think it'll fall more under the education section as we go later on, Southern New Hampshire University is something that's actually been coming up over the last few years because of its online presence and its ability to expand beyond the area. So I'm not sure how old that specific college is, but apparently it's been enough that, or it's large enough that we're hearing about it here on the East, on the West Coast, all the way from the East Coast.
For sure. You know, I was going to mention that when we got to education, but like, I remember about 6 or 7 years ago, we were actually on vacation in St. John. So, you know, here we are, we're this, you know, beautiful island getaway. And, we flip on the TV to see if we can see what the weather's going to be like for the day. And there was a commercial for Southern New Hampshire University online. And I was like, are you serious? Like, we're all the way down in the Caribbean. We're commercial about SNU.
Well, there you go. Yeah. As you continue to expand. Okay. So with the weather that you have up in your area, how are the roads? How is the transportation corridors? How is everything up in that area?
Yeah, you know, I think because of the fact that we expect this sort of weather all the time, the roads are pretty good. And, most people know to have four-wheel drive or not have, you know, just a front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive car, if anything, an all-wheel drive. But yeah, it's almost like you were saying before, like in California, it's like, an earthquake, like no big deal. Because we get so much snow, the roads are always, people are familiar with, okay, the roads look good now. And our roads are good might be still intimidating for somebody who's not used to driving in the snow, but they do a great job. And then we actually have a pretty major airport, Manchester Boston Regional Airport. I know it's regional, but you can definitely, like, it used to be that, you would drive down to Boston if you were going anywhere, but now,
yeah, like, Logan's super huge. I mean,
right. But Manchester, you can definitely, places where you're going to have to get a connection anyways, you could definitely take the ease of flying out of Manchester, really small airport, easy to park, easy to get through. So, personally myself on some recruiting trips, I've enjoyed going out of Manchester just because it's, I only have to get there, 45 minutes ahead of time.
It's much easier that way. Are there any
with flying? I definitely, like to minimize my time at the airport, but anyways, maybe
I can understand. Yeah. No, I totally get it. And there's, you guys also have like branches of a chain on the East Coast that I tend to like I used to be a regional training manager for another large university at one point. And so I would travel all over the East Coast and they had Legal Seafood, which was a big thing for me to like stop in. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I get that it's like a little chainy, but I don't care because we don't have anything like that here on the West Coast.
Right. Yeah. That's like a chain that you can still count on getting like a great seafood, like, of course people are going to say, well, you got to go to this local place and that's the best lobster roll. But you can definitely count on getting really high quality seafood at Illegal Seafoods for sure.
That's quite true.
Yeah. And then we don't really have like trains, I know that there was a proposal for, I think it's being called the Capital Corridor. That was, the idea is to expand the access, of trains from our capital, Concord, to Boston by way of the other two big cities, which are Manchester and Nashua. But I don't think that, to my knowledge, that's been built yet. And I know the original goal was 2020. But I don't believe that that's actually in existence yet.
Got it. And then in terms of the tourism within your area, what are the big sites to see now, obviously?
Oh yeah. So, Tourism, like I think the biggest things are people going up to the lakes. So over the summer, you know, going up to the get a lake house, Winnipesaukee. People also love to like the Appalachian Trail, of course, comes through New Hampshire. People like to go up and hike pieces of the Appalachian Trail, the Presidential Range, like I mentioned. You know, there's lots of different outdoor things like that to do. Skiing is a big deal. So like over the winter season, there's definitely people that will go and rent places to, you know, stay for the week and go skiing. And then there's actually like up in Conway, New Hampshire is probably the biggest town in northern New Hampshire, you know, most populated, and they have like close access to a couple of cool places for families. And so one place is called Santa's Village, and it's actually open outside of the winter time. It's open in the summer too, and it's like a small theme park, but it's super cute in the winter. If you can, you know, ever get up there, and if you have kids, they love that. You know, it feels like you're in the North Pole, really. And then there's another place that's called Storyland. And so that's where you have, you know, again, there's little rides and stuff. It's really geared toward kids, but they've got like the old woman in the shoe and some of those older stories. So
nice.
Fun destination spots too.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. So the government of your specific state, on a federal level, it does appear to be mostly blue. And I wasn't sure on the local level, is it primarily the same?
Yeah, so, you know, it's...
Or is it mixed? I mean, I'm kind of confused why it's kind of a, you know, battleground state.
Yeah, it is mixed. I mean, I think that, like, in different elections, it has been, you know, we've been red or we've been blue. And so I think, you know, that it's unlike, you know, our next-door neighbor, Massachusetts, like, it's blue, you know, it's blue. And it's going to be blue. And you kind of count on that. In New Hampshire, although we only have 4 electorals, and you don't think it makes that big of an impact, but it's interesting to see how this is a swing state and it can go either way. So so that's really interesting. But something that New Hampshire in particular is known for is its women in politics. And so we actually currently have 3 out of the 4 delegates to the Congress. Both of our senators are females and one of our congresswomen is a female. And so in 2012, it was all females across the board. And so, yeah, so I thought that was like really cool that New Hampshire is known for its women in politics.
Was that the first state to ever do that? To have its entire delegation as female?
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, it's a little easier. We just have 4 people, but...
you know, take it for what it is. I mean, seriously, that's amazing, though. Yep. Now, in terms of resources, lumber, obviously, on there, dairy products, maple syrup, as we already discussed. And one thing I noticed also is... there's a variety of different nurseries that are in the general area that grow different types of floral arrangements and things like that can ship out. Am I missing any major natural resources or anything that comes up that you think of?
Well, no. Speaking of the nurseries, you know, I know like mums are a big deal. So in the fall, a lot of people around here get their mums and they're planted in their mulch beds and their landscaping are hanging somewhere. So really some big and beautiful mums for sure. No, I think, you know, like I believe that 15% of our, you know, GDP here in New Hampshire is on, like real estate, like people rental properties and things like that. So, you know, it kind of goes back to tourism, but, yeah. You know, for the resources, I think you nailed it.
Are there mostly people that are on the East Coast that are going to those rental properties, or is it people coming from all over the states?
Yeah, it is a lot of people from the East Coast. You know, there's a ton of people that, you know, work in Boston and vacation on the weekends up in the Lakes region.
Oh, see, that's a nice, easy getaway. I like that. Yeah. And then over here, in terms of education, we've already talked about University of New Hampshire, Dartmouth, Southern New Hampshire University. Any other large universities that maybe I'm forgetting or major colleges? Anything I'm leaving behind there?
The only one I thought of was And we already talked about Southern New Hampshire Online, which around here, the letters S-N-H-U, everybody calls it SNU.
Oh, we call it SNUHU on the West Coast, so I'm completely wrong on that, I guess.
Yep, SNU. So yeah, they've got a really large online presence. And then we had mentioned earlier when we were talking about the history of the state, Franklin Pierce, mm-hmm. a president, and there's actually a university in kind of like southwestern New Hampshire, Franklin Pierce University. So it's a smaller school for sure, but just thought it was cool because it was named after a president. But yeah, you know what? This I didn't realize, but New Hampshire has the highest literacy rate in the United States.
Wow. What would you know what it is? Or
yeah, 94%.
That's fantastic. Awesome.
That's great. And a big contributor to that is that our adult population has like the lowest percent of adults that don't meet the basic literacy baseline. So, you know, with that many adults that are passing, you know, the literacy baseline, it makes sense that, you know, obviously the kids grow up in that system.
And there's a huge enforcement mechanism there for the parents to say, hey, we want you to go to school. We want you to go to college or something like that. We have to get those basic skills out of the way first. And which means high school graduation rates are probably at a very strong level too.
I didn't look at that, but I would think.
Yeah, it would go hand in hand. I'm certain of that. And then finally, of course, safety and security. When I think of New Hampshire, I don't think of any major crimes that happen in terms of domestic terrorism or foreign terrorism or anything that's kind of crazy. Anything pop up on your local news that's really kind of insane?
No, I'm with you on that, Scott. Nothing really has jumped out. And in fact, like, you know, it feels like a really safe state, right? Like I just live here and feel like we're never hearing about too much. You know, so I looked it up. I'm like, I wonder if this is true or, if, you know, I'm in my bubble in you know, Southern New Hampshire here, but sure enough, we've gotten the third lowest violent crime rate. So it's a pretty safe place to be.
Well, that's fantastic. And again, Monique, I always appreciate you swinging by and helping me out and understanding the states. It's been wonderful speaking with you today. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge about New Hampshire. After you moved, hopefully we can follow up again. I'd love to have another conversation with you in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I was happy to be invited back. So thank you so much. I always enjoy these. And yeah, it was my pleasure to talk about New Hampshire. It's really beautiful. It's a wonderful place to visit. I think it's a really great place to decompress. Definitely you'll feel re-energized, reconnected after visiting us here.
Well, again, thank you so much. And to my students that are out there, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me them via email if you'd like at scott@theprofessortravel.com. If you're on YouTube right now, please feel free to click that bell icon right at the top to be notified when new videos come out. If you haven't already done so, please feel free to subscribe. Hey, there's no charge for that. I promise we won't stalk you or anything. It's amazing. I appreciate it. And the channel does too. If you like this content and you like to continue to receive more of it, give us a thumbs up. We really appreciate that too. And finally, if you're on the podcast, please feel free to rate us, review us. We always appreciate the feedback. But until our next time, my name is Scott. I am the Professor Travel. Make every day a travel adventure. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye now.
The Professor Travel is a broadcast from Orange County, California. A transcript of each podcast may be requested by contacting The Professor Travel at his website, theprofessortravel.com. For opportunities to work with The Professor Travel, feel free to contact Scott at theprofessortravel.com or contact us through YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook at The Professor Travel or Twitter at TheProfessorTR1. Make every day a great day to have a travel adventure.